Okay, Na'aleh, today we continue. We'll see. Today's shir is dedicated to Nishmas Rachel Leah Bas Rav Chaim Tzvi. As always, could we just adjust the viewfinder? Thank you very much, Na'aleh staff. Today we're being replaced by one of the other people in Na'aleh staff. Thank you very much. Okay, we commence with Perikei, and I want to remind you that the way we're doing this is that we're not going pasuk by pasuk because we're talking about visions that are very hard to comprehend. Zechariah has introduced something we have nowhere else in Navi, which is Hamalach Hadover Bi. There's an angel which is guiding him, which is speaking to him, and he sees these visions we don't understand. Not only do we not understand them, they are so obscure that even the non-Jews took them as it's a very interesting thing. Where people who have an agenda find a proof for what they say and what they see. Whatever they see is proof for what they believe in. And so the non-Jews, the Christians, took these visions of Zechariah and called it the Book of Revelations. They're all proof of Jesus. Now, hardly that's what Zechariah is talking about, but we don't know exactly. One thing we know for sure is that he is not talking about that. Is he referring to Bayis Sheni? Is he referring to Bayis Shlishi? And even then, we will know until that Merit Tzedek, until the Mashiach comes and tells us what he's referring to, remain some obscure. Again, if the Malbim doesn't really understand, so the Stavi doesn't understand, who is little teller who thinks he understands? I don't understand. So what I'm going just trying to do is skip around. And once again, I thank the outline of Mashiach, which is very useful here. Perikei, we begin with Pasuk 9. Pasuk 9 reads, which means, then I raised and looked, and behold, two women were emerging with wind in their wings, for they had wings like a stork's wings, and they had filled and they lifted the eifa between the earth and the heavens. Which means, these two women, Fland of Vainglory, and these are the tzaddikim which the ruach of man. It's the ruach which gives them their ability to fly. The two temptations are represented as women, like Shlomo HaMelech's depiction of the evil nation as the scheming woman. And he sees, Kenafayim Kanfei Chasida, the word Chasida is the same word as a stork. We know that the chasida, the stork, the one that brings the babies, it's interesting, this it has a beautiful name, it's chasida, and yet we also know that it is a treif bird. As a little child, as a little boy, I thought of this pshat, and then someone told me later I mean like 20 years later, not bad because I'm all of 31, someone told me that I was mechavin to the Bedichev who said this. If the chasida is such a beautiful name, why is she a treif bird? And Rashi explains that she osa chesed im chevroseha. She's a friend, chesed with her friend. Genuine chesed means friend, chesed for anyone. You're not determining just because you're a friend you get my chesed. I'll do for any stranger. That's why she's a treif bird. So chesed, of course, is the same word as pious, and is generally masquerade as pious intentions. But zenes ha'efa min ha'aretz, they were attempting to carry a basket. Carrying basket means that's a symbolism for carrying a house. The earth, which is the nefesh, and the heaven, which is the neshama. Now this neshama is going to become pretty important over here. Let me just turn to one of the other commentators I have here. No, scratch, that's all. Okay. Now Pasuk Yud and Yud Aleph. Yud and Yud Aleph. Va'omar el ha-malach ha-dover bi, ana hema molichos es-ha-efa. And I said to the angel who was speaking to me, where are they taking the efa? Let's just continue with Yud Aleph, so there should be no suspense here. And Yud Aleph is, Va'omar elai livnosla vayis ve'eretz shin'ar, v'huhan v'unacha sham amuchanta. And he said, to build her a house in the land of Shinar. It will be established and she will be set down there on her base. These are places in Babylonia, Shinar. The two women were trying to do what the generations of the Tower of Babel tried to do. They're trying to use the nefesh to buttress the ruach in selfish orientation. And this is based on the Gemara in Kiddush. Going to build, but they were not going to succeed. I'm going to try and explain this to you as best as I can understand it. The nefesh and the ruach are both forces that exist inside man. Every man has within them, every person has these two countervailing. There's nefesh and there's ruach. Nefesh would be the, how do we describe before? The earth is nefesh and the heaven is neshama. These are both forces that exist inside man, and in order for a viable structure to be built within them, with them, they both have to devote themselves to serving something beyond the self. Only when man makes both of them subservient to the desire to serve Hashem can the nefesh serve the ruach. Then a house can be built in the air. And here I can refer you to Rav Aaron Feldman's book, Juggler, The Juggler King. I have notes on this. And I tried very hard to find it, but I couldn't find it. It's, he talks about, the full explanation is chapter 13 in Rabbi Feldman's book, Juggler King, The House in the Air. That's a Feldman book, Juggler King. In order to help the students, alright, I think that's the way we're going to. And Mrs. Smiles gives an example. Let's say you're on a diet. Alright, who's not on a diet? But let's say you're on a diet. And for example, you want to resist the temptation of eating cheesecake because of your diet. And if someone succumbs to the temptation, anyway, and what do they say? I'm not going to eat, just take a little bite. Just a little bit. Then the nefesh will conquer the need of the ruach. The ruach wants you to be thin. The nefesh then overcomes that. On the other hand, you just eat a meat meal, and you still couldn't. You eat a meat meal, and after you finish the place of your meal, then you have a piece in front of you, a piece of cheesecake. And if you resist the desire to eat it, then that desire to serve God, to do, you know, not violate kashrus, that supersedes the demands of the nefesh. Then the ruach is able to overcome it. I refer you to Rabbi Feldman's book to explain how Chacham understood how you can build a house in the air. I'm sorry, I just, as I said, it's hard to understand these in the Vim. I tried. Okay, we're skipping all the way to Perek Zion now. Okay, Perek Zion and Perek Chesed is a very interesting thing that we can understand. Practical very much for our own tshuva. Perek Zion, we begin in the beginning of Zion, which is Vahi b'shnat arba l'daryavesh ha-melech ha-yadvar Hashem el Zecharia b'arba l'chodesh ha-chi'i b'kislev. It happened in the fourth year of King Daryavesh, Darius in English, that the word of Hashem came to Zecharia on the fourth day of the ninth month of Kislev. I'm going to read the second pasuk as well. Rishlach beit keil shar etzer v'regem melech v'anashat v'chalos es p'nei Hashem. And Shar Zetzer, as well as Regem Melech and his associates, sent a Melech to Beit El. Okay, this Perek, by the way, is a Perek of consolation. Now, Shar Zetzer and Regem Melech, these are two righteous people who lived in Babylon. And these two righteous people that lived in Bavel, in Babylon, Persia, they sent, Persia means Iraq, these two people, where's Persia, Iran? Iraq, Persia. These two people, these righteous individuals, sent a message to their relatives who lived in Beit El, And they sent the question to the Kohanim, asked the Kohanim this following question, asked the Kohanim Beis Hamikdash this question. Pasuk Gimel. Parak Zayin, Pasuk Gimel. Lemor, El Kohanim Asher Levet Hashem Tzvakot Velanvim Lemor. Ha'ev Ker B'chodesh HaChamishi. Hinazer Kasher Asisi Zeh Kamashonim. Oh, is this going to sound familiar to us? 3. And speak to their question to the Kohanim, the temple of Hashem, masters of legions, and to the prophet saying, should I weep in the 5th month, abstaining from pleasures? Okay, these people living in Babylonia, they had the following question. Let me quote. And these are righteous Jews in the diaspora who asked whether they were still required to observe the fast of the 5th month. The 5th month is Av. Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av. The 5th month is Av. So whenever the Navi refers to the 5th, the fast of the 5th, he's talking about Tisha B'Av. So they wanted to know, do they still have to keep it? And when they say they have to keep the fast of the fifth month, they want to know, does this include any of the fasts that still talk about the destruction of Yerushalayim, since now with the Bais being constructed, it's no longer lying in ruin? That was their question. And the other reason they mentioned the 5th month, because that's the most obvious, that's the worst tragedy which is mentioned. To mourn the destruction of the first temple. Since a new temple was being built, was it still appropriate to fast? That's what Rashi learns. Alternatively, they doubted that the construction would be completed. So, should we fast or not fast? We don't know if it's even going to be completed. Alternatively, despite the new construction, they were still subjects in Persia. Now, Zachari's answer to this question, which goes all the way to the 19th pasuk in the 8th perek, is rather vague. This is interpreted, you'll find this in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. And there the Gemara says that when the temple is functioning, then, A, if the land is under oppressive foreign domination, all of the fasts remain in force. And B, if the land is under benign foreign domination, then the 9th of Av remains a fast day, but the other fast days are voluntary. And C, if the land is free of foreign domination, then the former fast days are celebrated as festive days, Karalai Moed, it will be a celebration. In other words, if it's oppressive domination, fast days are kept. If it's under benign domination, but it's still a foreign ruler, then fast days other than Tisha B'Av are voluntary. And if it's no foreign ruler in the land of Israel, and the fast days then become days of celebration. Pasuk Gimel. Lemor elakonim le asher leves Hashem tzvakot velanvim lemor. Efker b'chodesh hachamishi hanizer kasher asisi zeh kamashonim. Question is, and to speak their question to the Kohanim of the temple of Hashem, the master of legions, says the prophet, should I weep in the 5th month, abstaining from pleasures, as I have for many years? I'm sorry, I already read this to you. And the word, God's answer comes back saying the following. But let me just tell you before we go further. Should I cry on the 5th month? This is the month of Tisha B'Av. Temple had been built already. So the question is it necessary to keep observing the fast of the 9th of Av? Right, that's what Rashi says, talking about the 5th month, that's the month of Tishrei, of Chodesh Av. No one asked the question about the fast of Gedalia, which is on the guy who was murdered on Rosh Hashanah, because the situation that was brought about by the assassination of Gedalia, which means total exile, had already been corrected by the return of the people to the land. They're asking about the other 3 fasts, those that are connected to the Churban HaBayis. But they chose to mention Tisha B'Av, says the Malbim, Because if they would say that they do not have to fast on that day, then obviously the other minor fast days about Tobias, the siege, the breaking of the walls, those fast days will obviously be included. If you don't have to fast on Tisha B'Av, then obviously on the minor fast days, for the very same reason, you wouldn't have to fast. Now the Maharal explains in greater detail the reason for the question. The people in Babylon saw that the temple had not attained the full glory of the first temple. And the Maharal lists the seven things that seem to indicate that the exile, even though the bias is now standing, the exile is still not over. What are the five things that he mentions? The seven things, pardon me. The Shekhinah has not yet returned openly. That's one. Two. They were still under the rule of Persia and were afraid that they would be exiled again. They never had that sense of autonomy. Number three. There hadn't been a full ingathering of the exiles. Kvutzas, right? The people have not all come back. Number four, land was still cursed. It was not producing fruit abundantly. Number five, another reason why they didn't think a reason necessary that they had to stop fasting, even though the price was up. They saw that the Jewish people were still despised by the nations. And remember how we learned that one day it'll happen that you will no longer be called a klala, says Zechariah, but you will be a bracha. Not the umgluk, but the, not the misfortune, but the great gluk. You'll be the great fortune of everyone. Number six, the Kutim were still in possession of a great part of the land. And the number of the returnees from Babel was still small. And number seven, there was no king from the house of David. He nazer. So it says that you have to refrain from pleasure. We're up to Pasuk 4 and 5. Finally, the Navi is talking about something which is readily comprehensible to us. Number 4 and 5. Vahid var Hashem tzakot elai lemor. Emor el kol ha'am ha'aret el kohanim lemor. Ki tzamtem v'safod b'chamishi uv'ashvi'i v'ze shivim shana chatzom tzamtuni ani. And God's word, the Master of Legion, says to me, saying, speak to all the people. He wants to know, why did you fast? Speak to all the people in the land of Kohanim, saying, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth month, in the seventh, for these 70 years was the fasting that you fasted for me, for my honor? Did you do it for me? Why did you fast? Why did you fast? Now the fast of Gedalia is on the third day of Tishrei, which is in the seventh month. Seventh month is Tishrei. Some people look at Tishrei as the first month. It's polemic, but the Gemara, usually when the Gemara talks about it, says that the first month is Nisan, which makes Tishrei the seventh month. So the Tzom of this Shvi, that Zechariah talks about, and it's in Halacha, this is referring to the fast of Gimel of Tzom Gedalia. And it commemorates the assassination of Gedalia, whom Nebuchadnezzar had appointed as the governor of the Jewish community after destruction. And after Gedalia was assassinated, then all the people in Jerusalem were exiled, as it says in Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Okay, so the prophet was told to answer the people who are living in the land of Israel in Yerushalayim. The people who are living outside the country were sent the messengers did not deserve a direct answer, because they had not chosen to return to the land of Israel. So he's speaking directly to those people who had chosen and used their volition to come back to Eretz Yisrael. But the prophet was told to give his answer to both the people in Babylon and to those in Yerushalayim, including the priests who themselves did not know the answer to the question. And this is what he says, Ki tzamtem sfod v'chamishi v'ashvili. The prophet mentions the fast of the seventh month too. That's the fast, though, as we said, of Gedalia. That's Tzom Gedalia. Even though he was killed on Rosh Hashanah, so we push it off to the third of Rosh Hashanah. Commemorating the assassination of Gedalia ben Achikam after the destruction of the Bayis. We know about that in Melachim Beis. And he's adding this on in order to stress the fact that actually the fast of Gedalia is as important as Tisha B'Av, because the death of a righteous person is as terrible as the destruction of the temple. which Chazal say. The death of a major tzaddik is as terrible as the Churban Bayis. How do we know that? From Zechariah, who equates, when people ask the question, the Tisha B'Av with the fast of Tzom Gedalia. Because the Churban Bayis is destructive, is disastrous, as the death of a great tzaddik. It's already 70 years. More than 70 years have passed since the temple has been destroyed. And did you make me hungry by fasting? Did you make me hungry by fasting? In other words, we have to see the next verse and see what this means. A person should try to emulate God in good deeds and ways of behavior. And that way he can bring upon himself the same kind of behavior from Hashem. But in eating or fasting, that's impossible. Why? Because God doesn't eat dying. Our ways to mimic God. Someone stops you in the street and says, what is your job in this world? The answer is to be dovek, to try and cling to the ways of God and carry his ways. He is Rachman, Achamlan, he buries the dead, he takes care of the Kala. All these things that God does, we have to imitate that and do the ways of God. That is our job. But as far as food is concerned, there's no way you can mimic God because God doesn't eat, God doesn't drink. Pasuk Vav, V'chitochlu V'chishtishtu. And when you eat and when you drink, it is not you who are the eaters and you who are the drinkers. It's a question. Meaning, Hashem doesn't get any enjoyment from a person's eating and drinking. Hashem is trying to say here that it is the fasting that makes no difference to him. He didn't come in to fast all 7 days, all on these fast days. So what happens in the previous pasuk, we learned that it's the people who are eating and drinking. And since there's no eating, drinking in heaven, Hashem cannot respond to their kind of fasting, says the Malbim. I can't tell you with the greatest assurance, I know exactly what that means. Pasuk Zion. Pasuk Zion is, Halo es hadvarim asher kara Hashem biyad hanavim harishonim, b'yos Yerushalayim yosheves v'shleva, v'hares v'yoseha hanegev v'ashvela yoshev. Behold, notice which means consider, the prophecies that Hashem pronounced through the earliest prophets. Shalim was in its surrounding cities were settled and peaceful, and the south and the lowlands were settled. So the Navi is now pulling a fast one. He's switching the track of the discussion. And the question is not whether to continue fasting on these days, but if people have corrected the items, corrected the things which have caused the exile in the first place. Let's sharpen the focus a little bit. We're trying to talk about what's going to be in the fast days. Let's first consider, did we do what we have to do, what we are obliged to do, to make sure that we shouldn't have been fasting, for the reason that have caused the fasting, I'm sorry. The people first must do what the prophets demanded of them before the exile. Their laxness in this matter, enumerating it in the following verses, caused the destruction. It's going to take much, much more to actually bring about the building. It's like a small amount of heat which is needed to maintain a pot that's already on the fire versus the tremendous amount of heat which it needs to get the fire to get to the boiling state. That takes much more of a hotter flame. B'yos Yerushalayim Yoshev, the sitting means in a state of peace and quiet. Like we have in, I don't know if you're going to hear this in our Parsha in Israel, in Parsha Shlach. In Eretz Ochelet Yerushalayim, which devours and hand those that sit. Israel demands constant dynamic spiritual ascent. If you just sit, the land will devour you. But here's what sitting means. You can just be v'shal, you can be, take, relax. Pasuk Ches and Tes. Let's read that. And again. Vahid var Hashem lo zachari leimor. Ko amar Hashem tzvakot leimor. Mishpat emes shoftu v'chesed v'rachamim. Asu ish esachid. This is going to mirror in the Perek Ches. We have the same kind of psukim. Okay. And when you behold the prophecies that Hashem has pronounced for the earlier prophets, when Jerusalem was settled and peaceful, we read already that, the word of God came to Zechariah saying, thus says God, God is demanding kindness. What is he saying? Judge with truthful justice. Perform kindness and mercy towards one another. Do not oppress the widow and the orphan, the stranger and the poor. And do not think in your hearts of wrongdoing one another. Don't start plotting how you're going to do bad. do justice. So Hashem felt his chari to tell the things that earlier prophets told them before the exile, says the Malbim. And the Malbim continues, and all these things enumerated, if the people do them, Hashem will likewise do to them. If they do justice, for instance, they're being judging a widow fairly, Hashem will judge their enemies and punish them. If they show mercy, and not even think of doing anything bad to their fellow man, God will show mercy upon them. So we'll see in Perek, in this continuation, that the people didn't do these things, and that's why they're punished and exiled. And the Navi is now going to articulate and delineate the wonderful things that will happen to people if they act according to the truth and behave in merciful ways. Perek Ches, Pasuk Gimel. Let's get to Perek Ches Gimel. And then I'm going to, when we get to the middle Perek, I'm going to go back to Perek Zayin to contrast one with the other. Let me just see if I'm doing this according to my Seder. We have a ways to. Pasuk Gimel. Komar Hashem shavti al Sion v'shachanti b'soch Yushalayim nikra Yushalayim ir ha'emes har Hashem tzvakos har ha'kodesh. Here we have it. Yushalayim is called har ha'kodesh. I always write out my letters. Okay. Dasar Hashem, I have returned to Tzion and I have made my dwelling in the midst of Yushalayim. Jerusalem will be called the city of truth and the mountain of Hashem, the master of legions, the holy mountain, Har HaKodesh, the holy mountain. Hashem already returned the exiles to Tzion, and He Himself will also return. Hashem intends to return to Tzion and settle divine presence there. He'll also return to dwell among the people, meaning the prophecy and the holiness will both be restored to them. So when Hashem returns, Jerusalem will be known as the city of truth, and the Temple Mount will be known for the divine presence residing there. This will be the holy mountain. God's presence is there. That makes it the holy mountain. Hashem's return to Jerusalem is dependent on the people of Jerusalem judging truthfully, in speaking the truth to each other, and on the priests being holy. So we have a great prophetic vision that there will be peace in Yerushalayim. It'll be called the city of truth. It'll be called the holy mountain. God's presence will be there, and God's presence is there, then we'll know it's the holy mountain. But it's predicated upon the people speaking truthfully, acting truthfully, eliminating deceit, and being fair with the widows. Let me quote from the Malbim the answers to the queries that the people had, which are mentioned in the seventh parak in the third pasuk. 1. 7 points. The divine presence can return if the people will behave truthfully. And 2. Dariavesh will not exile them again. People will live in such peace that the elderly and the young will play unafraid in the streets. I hope that's familiar to you. Od Yeshu Zakenu Zakenos, the famous, we'll quote the Gemara in Marcus in a moment. Number 3. There will be a full ingathering of the exiles, that we'll see in Pasuk Zayin. The prophet Haggai promised them that if they rebuild the temple, the blessings of the earth will be renewed. That's what we have in Pasuk 9 and number 10, 12. Number 5, they will be considered blessed by the nations. We'll see that in Pasuk Yud Gimel. Number 6, they are not to be afraid of Sanballat and his cohorts. We have that in Pasuk Tesvav. And lastly, the kingdom of David will return. Pasuk and Perek Tes, Pasuk Tes. Okay, number 4. Then this pasuk, if this is worthy of a song, Komar Hashem Tzvakot, Od Yeshu Zkenim Zkenos Berchovos Yushalayim, Ish Mishanto Biyado Merov Yamim, which means, man, this is famous. Thus said Hashem, the Master of Legions, behold, I am saving my people from the. So number 4. Thus said Hashem, the Master of Legions, old men and old women, will once again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with his staff in his hand, because of advanced age. And the streets of the city will be filled with boys and girls playing in the streets. Beautiful image. The Israeli song, O Bashana Ba Yeshua Al Merpeset, is a spin-off from this pasuk of Zechariah. But it's most famous for the Gemara in the end of Makos, which I'm not going to go into depth explaining today. Maybe I shall, maybe I will. Because I'd like to talk about when we speak about Tisha B'Av in 3 weeks. But here is the famous Gemara at the end of Makos. The Gemara says, nothing like the library in the Na'ale studio. Every sefer you ever wanted. The Gemara says, and these four great scholars, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yeshua, and Rabbi Akiva, were walking along the way, and they're coming up towards Jerusalem. V'shamu kol hamoneh shel Romi, and they heard this voice from Roman, Barachu, in the distance, 120 mil away, and they heard that the Roman dominion is still here, and they began to cry. Rabbi Kiva Misachek. Oh, they still hear that to become Yishalayim. Yishalayim is destroyed, it's not rebuilt, it's still under the dominion of Rome. They're so overwrought with passion of how that they've not yet had the glory of God, they begin to weep. And Rabbi Kiva is laughing. Amrullah, they said to Rabbi Kiva, Bnei Mata Misachek, why are you laughing? Amr Lahem, he said to them, Vatem, Bnei Mata Bochem, why are you crying? Why are you crying? Amrullah, Halalu kushim shmishtachim latzavim mekatrim lavos kochavim yoshim betach vashgate. All these idolaters who do such strange idolatrous practices, they are sitting in tranquility and peacefulness. Vano bayis hadum kenosorof, in our home, the house of God is destroyed. It's burned. Burned in fire. Velo nivkem, we shouldn't cry. Amr lahem, said Rabbi Kiva, lekach ani mitzachi, therefore I am laughing. If those who violate the will of God, they live with such tranquility, how much more so for those who fulfill the will of God? How eventually they'll be rewarded. And then the Gemara tells us, Shuv pam achas hayolin Yerushalayim, they're coming up to Yerushalayim at a different time, came to the Har Tzof, and they came to Mount Scopus, Karo Bigdayim, from there they were able to look down, Scopus, they were able to look down, they had the view, the Har Abayis. When they arrived at Harabayis, Ra'ushuel Shiyasim based Kodesh HaKadoshim, so a jackal, a fox emerged from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. His chilu hein bochen, they began to cry. Rabbi Kiva was laughing. Amrullah, they said to him, what are you laughing for? They see a fox in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and this you can laugh. Amrullah, they mat hein bochen, why are you crying? Amrullah, Makom Shekasuvav, Ezar Karav Yumas, about the very place, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where it says, if a stranger goes there, they will die. Yashav Shualdim Hilchubo. And now there are foxes that are trotting upon this. What a disgrace. What a horrible lack of sanctity. Velom Nivka, we shouldn't cry. Amar Lahem, instead of Bekiva, what a perspective. Bekach, Anim Etzan, therefore I'm laughing. They didn't find that a laughing matter. Deceive. The Eidim the Amonim as Uri Hakoyim v'Sachari ben Yivar Yacha ben Brachya ben Brachyahu Chima Inyan Uri Eitzel Zachari Uri and Mavak Mitzvah Rishon. We see that there's a connection to Uri Hanavi and Zachari Hanavi. Uri was in Bayis Rishon, Zachari Bayis Sheni. Eilu Tala Hakosav Nevuasa Shal Zachari ben Nevuasa Shal Uri. Uri's Nevuah of what's going to happen was dependent on Zachari's Nevuah. Uri Ksiv L'chein Biglal B'lan Tzion Salatei Charesh. Uri portrays that Zion will be destroyed, it will be threshed like a field. B'Zachariah says, O Yeshu, Zkenes, B'chav, Yishalayim, our Pasuk. It says in Zachariah, there will still sit men, old men and women in the streets of Jerusalem, Asher Nizkaim, Nivuasa, Shal, Uri, Ha'isim, Yisyari, Shal, Nizkaim, Nivuasa, Shal, Zachariah. I was always afraid, I couldn't wait for the day when we'll have the rebuilding of Yishalayim, and we'll have old men, old women sitting on their pasot, sitting in their balconies, and from their old age, they'll be walking with sticks. Everyone will be the children playing in the streets. The scene of ultimate tranquility and peacefulness, pacific joyfulness. I couldn't wait for that to happen, but I knew it was contingent on Uri Hanavi's depiction of horror.
Ash is kind of Rosh Aluria, but now I see the Jachal and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The reason the Vua was fulfilled, and I know that we're guaranteed that B'yadua, Shavuot Shal Zachari, Miskayem, is B'loshen Hazeh. That I know that the Zachari's Nevuah will be fulfilled. They were so overwrought with emotion, Yad HaChachamim, what did they say? Akiva Nechamtanu, Akiva Nechamtanu. Akiva, you have consoled us, you have consoled us. You understood the right, proper perspective. And let me skip for a moment to get a good interpretation of this. Just bear with me one moment as I consult my notes. I was going to save it for 3 weeks. Why, let's look at the Chassam Sofer's beautiful interpretation. All we have to do is find it. No easy matter. Yeah. Okay, so here we have three stories. So we have the stories of Rabbi Akiva is laughing, the Chachamim are crying, and he said, why are you laughing? So it's like, this is Jewish history. He says to them, why are you laughing? They say to him, why are you laughing? He says to them, why are you crying? How could you cry? I mean, so the way the Chassam Sofer explains the Gemara is that no one disputed the fact that things would get better. They all know it's going to get better once they reach rock bottom. The Chachamim thought that as atrocious and as appalling as it was to see a jackal, a fox, come out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Harbayis, until the Harbayis was overrun by wild animals, lions and tigers, it hadn't reached its nadir. It's still further to go. We know it's going to come back. We know that things will be better when it hits rock bottom. We've not yet gotten there. We don't see it overwrought by animals, so far all we see is just one jackal coming out of it. Rabbi Akiva has a very different perspective. Now the Gemara relates, a very famous Gemara in Brachos, that at the time of the Roman dominion, they banned the study and teaching of Torah, and Rabbi Akiva defined this ban. I'm going to quote you the Gemara. Gozer Malchus HaRosh Shel Yasku Yisrael B'Torah. The evil government ruled that the Jewish people cannot learn Torah. Ba'papos Ben Yehuda U'mashol Rabbi Akiva. So they came to Rabbi Akiva, this person, and he said to him, how could you dare to violate the decree of the Roman government, of the Roman dominion, who said you can't teach Torah? Said Rabbi Akiva, Amar le Rabbi Akiva, you're afraid of the kingdom? I'll give you a mashal. I'm going to give you an analogy. Amar le mashal. Mashal ma'adav radom, what is analogous to? L'shul shahayim halech agabe hanar. It's like a fox which walks along the picturesque river route, and he's at the riverside. Radogim shayim miskabsim imakom. He sees the fish shifting in the water, shifting, quick, shifting. So, and he said, Amr lahem. So the fox said to the fish, what are you running away from? What are you running here? What are you running? Amr lahu, mipnei rishtos shemivim aleinu bnei adam. We're running, scooting away so we shouldn't be caught in the net, in the fisherman's nets. Amr lahem, said the fox to the fish, ritzon lachem shetalu liyabasha. Another aniva tem kishem shedaru avosai im avoseichem. You know what? I propose. What are you worried about? These nets which are going to catch you. I have a better idea. Come up on the shore, and we'll live together like good old times. Like you are my fathers, live with your fathers. You father with my fathers. Come up under the dry land. I'll look out for you. Amru lo, said the fish to the fox. Ata hush on malecha bikesh b'chayis. They say about you, fox, that you are the wiliest, you are the cleverest of all the animals. You are the one who's so clever with this harebrained, ridiculous plan. You're not a clever animal, you're a moronic and mesilk idiotic animal. In other words, if we're afraid for our lives in a place of such danger, in our own natural habitat in the water, where the fishermen can get us, how much more should we be afraid if we go up onto the dry land, which is not our habitat? Explains, this is a little bit, the Chassam Sofer, a little bit of Meir, primarily of Linda Weinbach, that the fox doesn't have the ferocity and the brute force of a lion or a bear, but he has that cunning mind. And that's why he poses the greatest threat to the Jewish people. And this is what Rabbi Akiva perceived. The Chachamim thought, no, we know that when it reaches rock bottom, we'll come around. But we don't think we've gotten there yet. We have not yet seen the bayis overrun by lions and tigers and bears, oh my.
Huma says no. Because he sees in that fox, the fox is the great danger. This is what Rav Akiva perceived. We haven't reached rock bottom. We've already reached rock bottom now. It's the fox trying to pollute and to contaminate the mind. He's immersed in holy holies. What fox are you talking about? That fox on the riverside says, come out of the base medrash, come out of the water. Come into society at large. I'll make it good for you over there. Come out of the water. It's too dangerous over there. You know, you Jews, you're always oppressed. Come live with us and we'll, like the good old days, things where we were together and you wouldn't have to worry about a thing. Oh, that's very dangerous. And it keeps rearing its ugly head and we don't seem to be able to insulate ourselves from this noxious influence. Okay, that's a nice interpretation from the Chassam Sofer. And I heard the setup from Mendel Weinbach. Since we have so much to say in Pasuk Zayin Ches, I think I'm going to stop now because it was just too ambitious to think we'll finish it all now. We're going to conclude this session now, and then the next time, Rosh Hashanah, we have now finished the penultimate, and in our next shiur, we're going to make a siyum, and we're going to finish Navi Zechariah Mirtz Hashanah.